일단 이야기야 기자이 Gaur Premanande Hari Garibo All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to assembled devotees, Hare. All glories to Shri Shri Guru Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are in Canto 5, Chapter 2, Verses 4 and 5. Again, we don't have board because verses are too long, so I'm just going to read one time, and then I'm going to read translation. And then we will start lecture from that point on. Text number 4. Sacha tat ashramopavanam ati ramaniyam vividha nimitta vitapi vitapa nikara samshishta purata lattaruda stala vihangama mithunai Prachamana shubitih pradiyo vyamana sharila kukkana karandavam kalaham shadir vichitram upakujitamala jalasya kamalakaram upala bodhramam. Stich number 5, the verse number 5, sorry. Triyak sulaita gramanapada vinyashagati vilashashaschanupadam kana kanayamana ruchira charanabharana svaranam upchakaryanam naradeva kumara samadhi joganamali lita narana narina mukula jugalam ishad vikashaya Vyachashyashta. Translation. Verse number 4. The Apsara sent by Lord Brahma began strolling in a beautiful park near the place where the king was meditating and worshipping. The park was beautiful because of its dense green foliage and golden creepers. There was pairs of worried birds such as peacocks, and in a lake where there were ducks and swans, all vibrating very sweet sounds. Thus the park was magnificently beautiful because of the foliage, the clear water, the lotus flowers, and the sweet singing of various kinds of birds. And text number 5, translation, as Purvacheti passed by on the road in a very beautiful style and mood of her own, the pleasing ornaments of her ankles tinkled with her every step. Although Prince Angidra was controlling his senses, practicing yoga with half-open eyes, he could see her with his lotus-like eyes, and when he heard the sweet tinkling of her bangles, he opened his eyes slightly more and could see that she was just nearby. Purport of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is said that yogis always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within their hearts. Danya vasrita tat kadyena manasa pashyanti yam yoginah. Bhagavatam 12.13.1. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always observed in yogis who practice controlling the varnam senses. As recommended in Bhagavad Gita, yogi should practice samprakshya nashikagram, keeping their eyes half open. If the eyes are closed completely, there will be a tendency to sleep. So-called yogis sometimes practice a fashionable form of yoga by closing their eyes and meditating, but we have actually seen such so-called yogis sleeping and snoring while meditating. This is not the practice of yoga. To actually practice yoga, one should keep his eyes half open and gaze at the tip of his nose. Although Angidra, the son of Priyavrata, was practicing mystic yoga and trying to control his senses, the tinkling sound of Purvachitra's ankle bells disturbed the practice. Yoga Indriya Samyama, actual yoga practice, means controlling the senses. One must practice mystic yoga to control the senses, but the sense control of a devotee who fully engages in the service of the Lord with his purified senses, Kishkena Rishikesha Sevanam, can never be disturbed. Srila Pradombananda Saraswati therefore stated, Durdante Driya Kala Sarpa Patali Prohata Damstra Jate in Chaitanya Chandramrita, number 5. The practice of yoga is undoubtedly good because it controls the senses, which are like venomous serpents. When one engages in devotional service, however, completely employing all the activities of the senses in the service of the Lord, the venomous quality of the senses is completely nullified. It is explained that a serpent is to be feared because of its poison fangs, but if those fangs are broken, the serpent, although it seems fearsome, is not at all dangerous. Devotees, therefore, may see hundreds and thousands of beautiful women with fascinating bodily movements and gestures, but not to be alert. Whereas, such women would make ordinary yogis fail. Even the advanced yogi, Vishwamrita, broke his mystic practice to unite with Menaka and beget a child known as Shakuntala. The practice of mystic yoga, therefore, is not sufficiently strong to control the senses. Another example is Prince Angidra, whose attention was drawn to the movements of Purachiti, the Apsara, simply because he heard the tinkling of her ankle bells. In the same way that Vishwamitra Muni was attracted by the tinkling bangles of Menaka, Prince Angidra, upon hearing the tinkling bangles of Purachitri, immediately opened his eyes to see her beautiful movements as she winkled. The prince was also very handsome, as describes herein. His eyes were just like the buds of lotus flowers. As he opened his lotus-like eyes, he could immediately see that the Apsara was present by his side. Verse number 4 again, translation. The Apsara sent by Lord Brahma began strolling in a beautiful park near the place where the king was meditating and worshipping. The park was beautiful because of its dense green foliage and golden creepers. There were pairs of varied birds such as peacocks, and in a lake there were ducks and swans, all vibrating very sweet sounds. Thus the park was magnificently beautiful because of the foliage, the clear water, the lotus flowers, and the sweet singing of various kinds of birds. Verse number 5. As Purvachiti passed on by the road in a very beautiful style and mood of her own, the pleasing ornaments of her ankle tinkle with her every step. Although Prince Angidra was controlling his senses, practicing yoga with half open eyes, he could see her with his lotus-like eyes, and when he heard the sweet tinkling of her bangles, he opened his eyes slightly more and could see that she was just nearby. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Jai Pataka Swami Iti Nami Namacharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Padaya Nika Ura Kata Damadaya Nagara Grama Tarini Nama Vam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Nami Namaste Saraswati Deva Garavani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhupayavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namanaha. It's very interesting verses. Actually, it's worrying to us that even such advanced personalities can fall down just attracted by the signs of sound of tinkles, you know, tink, tink, tink. You know, the power of material nature, the power of desires is unbelievable. Something what is the most hard to control in bhakti yoga are desires. Desires are the ones which are pulling us all around the place, all around this material world. There are two different kinds of desires. One are material desires and the other one is spiritual desires. Both material and spiritual desires, they engage intelligence. In the case, if you have material desires, that kind of intelligence we call material intelligence. In the case, if we are trying to fulfill spiritual desires, that kind of intelligence which is helping us to fulfill that, we call a spiritual intelligence. Ultimately, the soul is the one who's supposed to make a choice. There is always the crossing. Each and every day, in each and every hour, we have to make decisions. Should I watch here or I should watch there? Should I go straight or should I turn left? Should I go in this place or I should go that place? Should I do this or that? Should I behave like this or that? Always it's crossing, duality. This is the nature of material world, duality. Black and white, night and day. It's always the same. But we should not blame our mind. We should not blame our intelligence as well. Those are just tools. We are the one who's supposed to make decision. If we are making the wrong choice, we have to blame only ourselves, nobody else, really. We should not blame our husband or wife. We should not blame our friend. We should not blame our parents. We should not blame our children. We should not blame anyone else but us. Whatever we produce with our desires, we attract in our life and it's coming back to us as a boomerang. Therefore, if we have material desires and we are trying to fulfill them, we should not expect to be spiritual. Also, if we have spiritual desires, we're trying to develop culture of maintaining the spiritual desires and developing the spiritual potency in our life, we should not expect to have a lot of material enjoyment. Because these two doesn't go together really well. They're duality. They're on two different sides of the coin. Two different opposite sides of one same coin. We should be aware of that. We have examples in Shastra that sometimes we have some big, opulent, rich kings who was in the same time rich and advanced, detached from their kingdoms. There was performing their role properly. They was perfect kings, but they was not attached. And they could be any second move to another ashram, to another place, to do meditation for the rest of their life and to live their body peacefully. But that's an extremely high level, extremely high standard, and we in Kali Yuga should not repeat that because it's almost equal to impossible. That's why devotees should decide what he wants in his life. Does he want Krishna or material enjoyment? It's very hard to maintain both. It's not very hard. It's not possible. It's impossible. So today we'll discuss about desires. How to develop desires, how to control desires, how to achieve perfection following desires. How to deal when we have wrong desires, how to deal when we have right desires, and how to ultimately how to achieve perfection by living in the holy place. So in concretely here we have situation where Prince Angidra, the son of Maharaj Piyavrata, was meditating in the beautiful forest. That forest he found by his choice. And he chose actually the best of the best of the most beautiful places just because he wanted to have a perfect son. That was the reason why he went to meditate there, and he was expecting the, you know, through meditation, that perfect wife comes, and ultimately to have a perfect person as a son. Yes, he got later 9 sons, and his life was quite successful. He was quite a good king. But the way how he got wife and children is actually not ideal, especially not for devotees. What he did, he was worshipping Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the in charge to maintain the material world. Lord Vishnu is in charge to maintain. Lord Brahma is creator. Creation means mode of passion, right? Maintaining means mode of goodness. Destruction means mode of ignorance. So he had desire to have a perfect son, and then he got desire to worship the Lord Brahma because he wants something to create. He wants to create his marriage. He wants to create children, right? And it's not bad. It's not bad way to start. I mean, he went to meditate. He was meditating on Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma was very pleased with his meditation, and he sent the most beautiful apsara which he had there between dancers, and that girl, that lady, was not just ordinary lady, you know. She was beautiful, yes. She was dancing, really attractive, yes. She had bangles and everything, but in the 10 verse, you will hear in a couple of days, she was also a brahmana. There is the 5 to 10, oh brahmana, I can simply hear the tinkling of your ankle bells. Oh yeah, she was a brahmana. And she was definitely not an ordinary human being, right? But still, she was very attractive on a material way. So in one moment, Prince opened his eyes a little bit more than how much he's supposed to open it, and because he was attracted with the sound, and what he saw was something really amazing. Then he opened his eyes completely. You know, usually things are happening in beginning very small. Then if we start to maintain something small, it's becoming bigger and bigger. In one moment became a habit, and then it's becoming huge. You never had any wrong or right desire happen straight away in a moment. Never. Always things are happening, there is the certain path how things are happening. You know, first is very small attachment. You see something interesting. First you don't want to watch it because you know it's not good for you. Then slowly after, I don't know, a few days, a few months, a few hours, a few seconds for somebody, you decide, okay, let me just give a blink of eye. Let me just see what is that. Then, of course, if you're honest, you start to judge, oh, this is bad, this is not for me, this and... But mind is attracted, right? If we don't do anything about that, attraction becomes to grow like a cancer, you know? And then you turn your eyes again, then a third time, then a fourth time. Then in one moment you figure out, oh, I'm not moving that my eyes from that person anymore. It's dangerous. If you do the same repetition again, there is a big chance we will develop a habit. Habit of doing something bad. Habit of doing something wrong. The habit is the one which is very hard to change. It's mentioned that to change each habit, it takes at least 15 days. It's possible, but it's very hard. Once we develop one habit, it's possible to change it, but it takes time to change that. It will not change overnight. So, anyway, since we are not discussing today about habits, we are discussing about desires, right and wrong desires. There is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita in 7:20 that those whose intelligence is stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods, and they even if they follow all rules and regulations, they are not achieving perfection. Most of our desires are connected with objects around us. That those objects could be dead things, such as TV, car, money. All these dead opulence means opulence without a soul inside, or object for desire could be a living being. The lowest level of desire is actually when you worship a dead things. When we worship a dead things, when we worship a camera, when we worship a mobile phone, when we worship a computer, when we worship a certain stuff, we can maintain it properly for the service of Krishna. That's not wrong, but we should not worship that. We should not enjoy that. They're two different things, not the same stuff. Second level is when we worship animals. That's second lowest level of worshiping the animals. You know, pets, small, sweetie stuff in my hands or touching me, and very nice. Well, that's also very low. It's sweet, it's nice. If sometimes some people feel hurt, you know, they have certain problem in their life and they want pet. Pet will not hurt me, especially with this small one. Small kitty cat. What's wrong having the small kitty cat? But that's worshiping, you know, another being. We call it relationship. We call it relationship, you know. But what is relationship when you have to wash the person, when you have to change clothes, when you have to give a food, when you have to do all these things? That's worship. That's saying what we are doing with the deities, you know. It's worshiping. Next level is when we worship a living being, human beings. That means idols. For Indians, Shah Rukh Khan, you know, king of the kings, king of the Bollywood. Or, I don't know, Brad Pitt, Barack Obama. You name it, is there. People are worshiping another people. Yes, they have some special karma, they did some austerities in previous life and got some kind of opulent lives. But not much different than us. It's much smaller difference than we imagine, actually. And if they are not sending message to worship the Lord, are they really, you know, the serious candidates to be worshipped? I don't think so. So many people like to worship another people. You know, when you're young, you put all these posters on the walls, you're trying to look similar like somebody, you know, you're trying to act like somebody, you're trying to sing with somebody's song day and night, you know. This is all worshipping another human being. Next level, higher than that, is worshipping demigods. Yes, it's higher. Yes, it's nice. It will bring you on the higher platform than where we are right now. It will bring us higher. So some people, they're worshipping Shiva, someone in there worshipping Brahma, someone they're worshipping, you know, all different kind of demigods. We have the whole scope of them. But that's higher and can bring some benefits. But if you remember in Vrindavan, you know, the habits of Vrindavan was trying to worship Indra, and Krishna came and said, "My dear father, it's not necessary. You don't have to worship Indra." So what's happened? Indra became very angry. But Krishna protect them. Krishna protect them. The highest platform of worshipping is worshipping Lord Krishna. There are a few different sub-levels in that kind of worshipping. That means worshipping Lord Vishnu, then worshipping, you know, some incarnations of Krishna, some expansions of Lord. Ultimately, the highest level is worshipping the Krishna, it's his original form, a 16-year-old boy from Goloka Vrindavan. That's the highest platform. And if we maintain that platform, we cannot make mistake. Because Krishna is owner of everything. Krishna is the one who created demigods. Krishna is the one who is maintaining demigods. Krishna is the one who allowed them to perform their roles. Krishna is the one who created the material world, who is not different than material world. Krishna is the one who is, you know, supervising the human beings. Nothing can happen without his control. Krishna is the one who ultimately created the animals, plants, and Krishna's external energy is also all these dead things around us. That means things we are using in everyday life. Everything is Krishna. So if we worship Krishna, if we have desire to worship Krishna, that's basically the highest platform. That's something what can fix everything. Our material situation, our spiritual practice, our, you know, everything what we are doing in the life, day, night, doesn't matter. It can put everything together on so beautiful, such a nice way. That's, you know, the power of worshiping Lord, the power of worshiping Krishna directly, not through, you know, any kind of channels. So there is a very interesting, actually the main question is, because we all have material desires, I mean, all glories to those who doesn't have material desires in this room, please forgive me. Most of us has material desires, including myself. And very interesting question for me to research was how to control desires and how to go out of that twister, you know, of material desires. And I found very interesting part in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ultimately dealing with that. And he gave us the perfect example, actually, what we can do and how we can do. The way is actually not to go away from desires. The way is transform it, to transform desires. Material desire to become spiritual without changing their original form. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 154, is telling that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always was like to dance and to sing. When he got sannyas, he moved to Jagannath Puri, as you all know. He wanted to go to Vrindavan, but because his mother wanted him to stay closer to Mayapur, he decided to reside in Jagannath Puri. But soon as he came there, the Lord Jagannath was there, and he was so attached with the Lord that he could not control his emotions anymore. You know, any time when the chariot was going, when it was Ratha Yatra, when he was close to the temple, he would just start dancing and chanting and singing. And many times he starts singing some new songs that devotees actually never didn't hear before. It was some kind of internal meditation and pure love, and he just expressed it in a moment, and then devotees immediately write it down, you know. So we have a couple of songs actually saved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was not written by him, but it was written by his very close associates. So it's mentioned here that that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to dance before the car during the festival of Ratha Yatra, and he was always singing the following two lines. Seita parananatta painu jaha jagi madana dahaja juri genu, which means, I have gotten the Lord of my life, for whom I was burning in the fire of lusty desires. Madana dahane means lusty desire. It's same as kama. Kama also means lusty desire. If you remember in Bhagavad Gita, you have in the canto, kama, krodha, and all different levels. You know, kama is the lusty desire. Means something what we have to avoid in our spiritual life so much. There is one kind of lusty desire we can maintain, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was maintaining all the time in his Jagannath Puri Lila, and that's kama towards Krishna. Lusty desire towards Krishna. Developing loving feelings towards the Lord. He was always trying to dance attractively in front of chariot. He was always trying to sing so sweet to be able to attract the Lord. We all know that Krishna is very attractive, right? We all know that he is very beautiful. His lotus eyes and everything else is perfect. And we feel attracted. But the secret is that we have to attract Krishna if we want success in our life. That's the whole secret how we can transform desires. If we are trying again and again to attract the Lord, then all our lusty desires will be towards the Lord, and He will move His head towards our direction, and He will see us. And later there is explanation that we cannot achieve perfection until we don't get a special mercy of the Lord. Not possible. We alone cannot do that. Only if we get a special mercy. Special mercy we are getting only if Krishna sees us, if Krishna starts developing feelings towards us. He has feelings. Feelings are always there, but special feelings. Means, you know, you have many friends, but one friend does something exceptional for you, and you start paying attention to that person. Oh, he really mean. He's really interested to develop nice relationship with me. What's happened? This verse, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing this song, there is only one person who could understand what does it really mean. And that's Swarup Damodar. He was really only one who could understand. But what's happened? One time, Rupa Goswami was present during a singing. And immediately after he heard the song, he ran away to his hut. And he brought a verse which explains this verse. And he put on the palm, that palm leaf where he wrote, he put on the top of his hut. And he was so happy that he just went to swim in ocean to wash himself and to come back. In the meantime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to visit Rupa Goswami. And when he was close to the hut, he saw the palm leaf with the verse written. And he was, what? Rupa Goswami came back from the ocean. And immediately when he saw the Lord Chaitanya, he fell down, pale obeisances in Dandavat, full Dandavat, with his full body in the dust. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached him, he took him, pulled him up, slapped him, and put him on his lap. He's telling, who allowed you to read my mind? Rupa Goswami was watching him. I'm sorry, the Lord. It was just stronger than me. It was really amazing inspiration. Who allowed you to read my mind? Only Swarup Damodar knows what that verse means. And you just put everything on this palm leaf. The whole deep explanation of my song. Then there was crying and there was laughing again. And who will understand their transcendental, you know, lilas? Don't repeat that, please. It's forbidden. But the point is that actually Rupa Goswami was going so deeply in the relationship with Krishna. He was not just enjoying his dancing and his song. He was trying to understand the Lord's message. He was trying to understand how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is thinking. What does it mean? I want to know this person much better and to go much deeper in our relationship. I want to know him. I love him. It's so deep level. We cannot even imagine. We cannot imagine a glimpse of it. But we have to go towards it. If you want to know something, if you have desire to develop a relationship with someone, if we want that, we have to learn more about that person. We have to read what that person was doing, how that person was thinking, what was the message behind all different kind of lilas that person left to us. If we don't understand, we have to read again and again and again until we don't have a click in our mind. But we should never give up. Sometimes devotees after 20, 30 years of Krishna consciousness, they feel dry. They don't feel inspiration anymore to serve the Lord. They don't feel inspired anymore. They're just doing a whole process because of obligation. Means that they give up. But Krishna is there. Krishna is still in forest, hiding. We have to find Him. The whole Gopi Lila has to go on. It's very interesting. So whatever we are doing for Krishna, every service we are doing to Krishna, we have to try to please Him. We have to see what is really deeply meaning, how to please the Krishna. Let's give one example. we are living in Mayapur, right? There are some people who believe that Mayapur should look opulent like Dwaraka. Huge opulent buildings with huge opulent balcony, with huge opulent this and that like in South India. But let me tell you one thing. Mayapur is actually created by Srimati Radharani. It created in her full meditation on Vrindavan. She created Vrindavan here, and this is actually the only place in the whole universe where Srimati Radharani is alone with Lord Krishna. Because it's everything is her internal potency. Not is external, everything is internal. And here is Radharani alone with Krishna all the time. Dwaraka is the place where Krishna left from Vrindavan and went there. There is explanation in Chaitanya Charitamrita that gopis hate Dwaraka. They hate it. Because they feel that Dwaraka took the Krishna, stole him away from Vrindavan. And he didn't go back there anymore, almost. Radharani was on the top of those gopis, first one. What do you think, which kind of feelings Radharani has when you mention Dwaraka? She's like, oh, that Krishna, he left me, he left all ladies here, all gopis here, and he just went to that Dwaraka to enjoy with his 60,000 queens and left us here to suffer all the time. I was driving one time, my Indra Prabhu, I was driving him many times when he was doing bhajans. I just told one devotee the other day, and I asked him, Prabhu, you took Kshatra Sannyas, that means you should not leave Vrindavan. And he just gave me a soft smile and he told me, you know, Mayapur is not different than Vrindavan. It was a very good message. It was clear same second to me. Oh yes, Mayapur is not different than Vrindavan. So all feelings which Vrindavan produced, the whole lila of Vrindavan should be present here. So if we want to develop Mayapur, we have to be aware of that, because this is something what will be pleased Srimati Radharani. Every Srimati Radharani is pleased, ultimately Krishna will be pleased. Because every husband likes when his wife feels good. And Srimati Radharani is actually, you know, eternal another half of Lord Krishna. You know, when you I'm sorry for all brahmacharis here. When you're married, when your wife feels good, you feel super good. I can tell you that from my personal experience. If your wife is mad and like, you know, oh, your whole day is spoiled. Just forget it. Krishna is same. He's not different. He's a person. When Srimati Radharani feels great, he feels amazing. He feels perfect. His day is fulfilled. That's why he was always trying to do things to make Radharani feels good and in anxiety. When woman is in anxiety, she thinks about Agapava, the partner. In this case, you have Radha and Krishna. When the Radharani is in anxiety, oh, where is Krishna? You know, she had only desire about him, and he's happy about that. Really, really happy and really fulfilled. That's the whole trick. So, there is one very short interesting story about Srila Prabhupada, and this is where I'm gonna finish. Today, there is 1974, I think. The Burijan Prabhu wrote about this happening, that Srila Prabhupada was sitting on his desk and he was smiling, he was in very pleased mood that day. I mean, Srila Prabhupada was in pleased mood all the time, you know. And then Srila Prabhupada was talking about humility of advanced devotees. You know how they develop humility, how naturally when you think about Krishna all the time, humility becoming a part of your character, and you cannot skip but to think everything good about all human, all living beings about you, around you, and to try to help them to advance. So in one moment, the Burijan Prabhu came to him, and he's telling that my only qualification, dear Srila Prabhupada, is that I'm so full, that I'm a fool. And then he was expecting that Srila Prabhupada will, you know, glorify his fallen stand and fall and endure and everything. And Srila Prabhupada, in his unique mood, he's turned over to him, he's telling, yes, you are a fool, but you should stop being the fool. You understand, sometimes we enjoy, even if we are in advanced level, even if we develop advanced feelings or advanced qualities, we start enjoying in that. Wherever we stop in our progress, that's a landing. You know, you have staircase, then you have landing. But actually, you know, we should never stop until we don't reach where we're supposed to go. And again, I will repeat, I will repeat each and every time I'm sitting with this place, that we should not develop desire to go back on Goloka Vrindavan. We should develop desire to serve Lord and to remember Him all the time, wherever it is. Doesn't matter where. This is the Vaishnava attitude. Dasa Anudasa. If we are serving Vaishnavas, we are serving the Lord. If you are serving the Lord directly, this is not Dasa Anudasa, this is only Dasa. So, if we develop the humble mood towards all devotees, if we start serving devotees around us, Krishna will be pleased. If we start developing the proper atmosphere in our heart, in the atmosphere around us, Srimati Radharani will be pleased and we will have the full perfection of our life. And this is the way how to overcome lusty desires. This is the way how to develop the proper lusty desire towards Krishna. And ultimately how to reach perfection in our life. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Do you have any questions or any comments? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Madhava ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.